you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As Coach walks up to the tent and says, "What's up to us?"
Yeah.
How you doing, Coach? Good to see you. Good to see you. Happy first day of school. Coach Raheem Morris joins us here on our in our broadcast tent from the first day of Falcons training camp. Coach, good to see you. How are you?
No. Am I on?
Yeah, yeah, we got you.
What's up, fellas?
How you doing, Coach?
I mean, I cannot complain, Randy. First day of school, we got the fans back, which is crazy, which is important. You know, last year it was a lonely camp out here by itself, but, like, to get the guys back, get the excitement out, the energy, get you guys back out of here in the broadcast, you know, it is absolutely outstanding. I got Andy back over here. We're ready to go, man.
Ready to go. Happy to be here. Happy that all the fans are here, too. I probably ask you this every year, but every year is a little bit different. Does the first day of camp change, the feeling around the first day of camp change as you progress in your career?
No, man. I mean, hard to say it changes. You know, this is always a really good time of the year. It's always a really good time to get your team back out there and let those guys get ready to go. And then when they get out in practice, you see them moving around fast, see them move around quickly, be able to get back, make some corrections, get all the stuff you want to get done, and make sure you can throw a great camp, man. It always feels the same, that same energy, that same juice, that same sense of urgency for the guys that are ready to go out there and play.
What was the message to your team last night? Because usually you have a meeting for the first day of camp, that night meeting when get everybody in and all those things. What was that meeting like?
As you know, Randy, last night is the meeting that the players don't necessarily love.
Yes.
Right? It's the one you go through all of the stuff you got to go through as far as, you know, the docs, your equipment, your coaches, your everything, the quick install so we can get ready to go out there in the grass the next day and to be able to do those things. But realistically for us, it was about us, how are we going to move and, like, doing things what we want to do and not necessarily have to tell anybody about it, right? Let's be able to go out here and be able to get our guys going. Let's go out here. Let's execute. Let's be the best versions of ourselves so we can attack this season.
Falcons head coach Raheem Morris joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, live from Flowery Branch, first day at training camp. We're going to talk to a bunch of your players throughout the course of camp. We're probably going to ask each of them, what did you do this offseason to try to improve, to try to make sure this season's your best and all that? What does a coach do in an offseason to try to get better from where he was to where he's trying to go to?
You always start with self-evaluation. You always start with, you know, looking at some other people, what they did really well, go steal some really good ideas. There's a lot of really great coaches in this league. There's a lot of great players in this league. And you can go study just about anything you want. You know, obviously, there's always great room for self-improvement. You know, whatever you do for your health, for your body, for your mind, for your mental state, for all the things that's really important to what we do as an athlete, what we do as coaches, and what we do as an organization, I think is some of the most important things you do. I happen to have some of the great leadership that I have when you're talking about Arthur Blank, being a lean on his experience, being a lean on Terry's experience, Ryan Pace, Kyle Smith, all of those guys' experiences you can lean on, different things, different aspects of life, different walks and ways to do about your business. I just think are always things that you can really help and be helpful for. And you take your time as you go through the offseason, you just go through those things and you go through that checklist every year to make sure you can come back a better version of yourself.
You have a young quarterback. We saw him play the last three games, and obviously comes into this offseason number one guy. What do you hope you learn from him this summer? Because obviously it's his job, and he is the leader of this football team. But what do you need to see from him day by day as we get ready for the season?
He's really started it already. You know, it's just the leadership and the ownership of the offense and getting these guys out there and getting together. And his voice becoming bigger, right? His voice is becoming bigger every time he steps in that huddle. His voice gets bigger every time he makes a correction to a wide out, a running back, the O-line, a protection, whatever it is. Every time he talks to Zach, every time he talks to me, every time he communicates situational ball, like we're able to display there at the end of practice in the Mamba period, you know, you just love the fact of watching him grow and develop. And still, every single time, you're so impressed with the poise of the young man. That's just outstanding.
What do you think fans are going to see from him, Penix specifically, that they got the three-game sample set, you got a chance to see him a little bit, but still pretty unfamiliar with what he is. What do you think fans are going to see from him that they don't know yet?
I think, Andy, these guys got a chance to see it today. They got a chance to see him unleash a big arm and throwing it downfield and really stretching the field. You know, you're talking about a guy that can throw every level of the field, every layer of the field, and being able to get that up. You know, but the important part for him is focus on his completion percentage to make sure we can make the layups, to make sure we can keep the drives going and go down the field. But as you know, man, he can unlock it. He can uncoil. And when he has the ability to do that, we got to be able to come down with some of them big shots down the field.
I want to talk about your defense because the stalwart is gone. It's been here forever. A lot of new guys, a lot of names that nobody knows yet. Could you tell us a little bit more about the D-line? Well, obviously, Onyemata was here a couple years, but
sure.
All the other guys seem to be a little bit unknown.
You know, we're talking about some of the unknowns, but you got to talk about some of the knowns first. The Jesse Bates of the world, like a consummate leader in this league, a consummate leader on our team, a pro, all-time, one of those guys that just makes plays no matter what. And then a guy that's really grown up here in A.J. Terrell and the leadership that he brings, the presence, all this stuff that he has. And then you got to go to Caden Ellis, the steady improvement throughout his career, starting as a part-time player, really getting here and flourishing as a linebacker. Last year, flourishing as a pass rusher and a rush guy for us and having the ability to do some of those things. And then you throw in a bunch of young guys, right? And now you add that second-year class, that first-year class, and it's exciting. Get a chance to see Brandon Trice today and Rook really get out there and go out there and Dorless and some of those guys kind of add to the party before you even mention the Georgia Bulldog and Jalen, and you're talking about Pierce, and then you're talking about some of the guys that we added in the secondary with Watts. Like, it is an exciting thing on defense. Talking about young, fast, hungry, which I've been around before and had a lot of success with, and I am really excited to see what Jeff Olbrick, our defensive staff, can actually pull out and go out there and do some really good things with them.
How many rookies do you, like, legitimately expect to be contributors on defense this year?
I would say all the guys we drafted, for sure. You know, and there's always some guys that can definitely come out there and shock you. You know, Billy Bowman, and when you're talking about White, talking about some of the productive, like, whatever you want to call them, secondary players, whether you're talking about stars, whether you're talking about, you know, in the back end at the safety position, those guys have been big-time contributors in college football and getting the ball back. And that's something that we got to improve in our defense as well as our pass rush. I hope we address that within the first two rounds. And the Steven started last year. We're talking about the guys we just mentioned and the Trice and the Rooks and the Dorths.
Right.
Like, those are the things that you want to get going. You know, obviously adding a veteran like Flo really helps you with some of that presence that you lost from a guy like Grady, a guy that's been able to go out here, another Georgia Bulldog, a guy that's been able to get up and have a lot of production in this league, won a Super Bowl with this young man. He comes in here, he brings a certain tempo to practice, he brings a certain tempo to the game, he brings a different edge. I think all of those things are really important when you talk about bonding these guys together on defense.
I saw a couple of guys just starting a PP, middle linebacker Trey Anderson. Is it just precautionary? Is something you're going to like put him in like slowly as the camp goes along?
Yeah, Troy's kind of one of those guys who kind of knew where we're going to be. We're going to start off on the pup list and get him going. But he is absolutely on schedule and he's ready to go. And you got to get out that heat.
I know, man. I'm in training camp. I did my time in the Sunday training camp.
We got to move your tent back.
No, when you leave, I'm sitting over there.
Sorry, but Troy, he's right on schedule. You know, starting him on pup, seeing where that goes, let that play out the situation. You know, but we got some guys back there right now in that linebacker room. You know, JD, we got a taste of last year. He gave us some real production when he got a chance to go out there and play. You know, getting him back healthy is a big critical part for us. Going out and get Diablo, who's been really impressive in training camp and the offseason program and the things that we did there. And then, obviously, we mentioned Caden Ellis before.
Maybe this is a two-parter just with how Kyle's doing now and that being what leads to the answer to the question. But what's the key to Kyle Pitts being his most productive self?
I think it's just us putting our best efforts together. When I say us, it's about us, it's about Kyle, and it's about really an organizational approach to try to get the best version of Kyle, right? And then we're trying to do that right now. I think I love his attitude. I love how he's come back. I mean, you got to be honest, man. Let's sit here and be one, right? It's tough. You're going through trade rumors. You're going through the production fighting, trying to get it back from what you did as a freshman or rookie, excuse me. You're trying to move to that needle again, right? Like, we see it. He has the talent. He has the explosion. He has the it factor. We got to mentally get it all together and bring that to the field. And hopefully this is the year that we can unlock it. And what a year would it be for him to unlock that.
How do you get the best out of Bijan by not just put all it on right now? Because, you know, he's a bell cow. I remember we had John a couple years last year. You were talking about how sometimes you got to slow him down. How do you get – because he knows how to get – he's a professional, Rob. But, like, taking some reps off of him so he can be as fresh as possible.
You know, we were talking about this the other day and we were joking about it. But Ty Lajeer allows you to do that, right? Ty Lajeer allows you to unlock a different force to your offense. It allows you to take a little bit off of Bijan. You can play those guys together. You know, I can't think of two better friends in our football team than that room and that team and those guys and, like, what they do together. So, like, using those two guys and being able to utilize guys sometimes together, sometimes opposite, sometimes playing off each other, sometimes situationally, I think it's, like, a big key for us and a big advantage for us to be able to go out there and get it done. You know, Bijan is extremely special. Like, you know, he takes off load off the receivers because of what he can do out the backfield. He takes loads off the running backs, so what he do in the backfield. And then the biggest shock that me keeping coming here was his protection. Like,
yes.
No idea, no clue that he was able to stick his face on people and be able to put people down the way he is in the protection game, and that is a really important thing and a really important trait.
Falcons head coach Raheem Morris joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. First day of training camp, live from Flowery Branch. How should we think about or analyze Kirk Cousins' role? Obviously, he's the backup quarterback. Is it as simple as he's...
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What Penix was last year, or is it more complicated than that?
You know, it's different. You know, you got a guy that's played a lot of football in this league, a guy that's going to sit there and be a consummate pro. And I think it's a little bit bigger outside our building than it is inside the building. You know, when you're talking about inside the building, you're talking about a guy that's going to come to work. He's going to do exactly what he wants to do. He's going to be prepared. He's going to practice the right way, do all the right things, right? Outside of the building, it has a little bit more noise because of how the situation had panned out, right? He was an expected starter, a guy that can come in and play. It didn't play out that way, right? You got to play the best player on the football field at all times, and that's what we're doing. Right now, Michael's the hot man. Right now, Michael's the guy. Right now, he's doing what he's supposed to do, and he's taking over as our number one. And we drafted him to be that. And I'm really excited about our guy. I'm really excited about what he can do and who he is as a player.
Every year, Rod, there's somebody who surprised you. And usually, I know in my time, there's always that unrestricted free agent.
Sure.
Now, they've been here this spring and everything, going through all the offseason conditioning. Do you kind of have a sync like, this guy right here, I know we didn't draft him, he was undrafted, but he might be able to have an opportunity to be on the 53.
Coaches are always worried to talk about that.
Yeah.
Particularly at this time of the year, right? You know, but there's a couple, right? We had a real niche in the offseason after the draft. We wanted to go and attack some people and get some really good players and some really good players to come join this football team. That hints going to go out and get a guy like Kobe Bryant, what we thought would be drafted. Going to get a Verdon, who we thought would be drafted from Iowa State. Going out there getting a Nash, who was the Biletnikoff winner and led the league in receiving. So, like, I want to let these guys go out there and play it out. But it's an exciting, young, undrafted free agents along with this rookie class that really – fires you up. And like to add it to some of these guys and to add them to those rooms to see if they can develop their roles and find their way, it just fires you up as a coach, fires you up as a fan base and everything else.
We appreciate the time, Coach.
Appreciate it, Coach.
Great stuff as always.
Hey, you get your butt over here. And
get him
over here sweating, man.
We'll get him in the shade.
You know, we got to move his seat.
Yeah. Quit fast in a hurry.
All right, let's hear it for Coach. Head Coach Raheem Morris, nice enough to hang out with us here. On the first day of training camp live at Flowery Branch. Right off the bat, how do you like that?
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.